So what seems to be the driving factor with the green on the screen we're seeing today in this grain complex? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jeff Peterson's joining us today with Heartland Farm Partners, and there seems to be some strength. Now, some think it might be tied back to the Midwest Crop Tour. Others say it's just the time now for the grains. What are you thinking that you're seeing for these?
You know, it's interesting. As we dig in and take a look, we've got a nice day going in corn. You know, corn right now up about over 7 cents. Beans are up over 19. You know, we've got bean oils up over 2.5 cents a pound, which has been really good. And as you sit back and look at it, there's a number of factors, I think, kind of coming together. You know, we're coming into this time of year, and we ended up having the August numbers come out, you know, from WASD. And now we're getting a chance to get those probably confirmed here, and we'll talk a lot more about that from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. But also from a technical point, you know, there's a lot of people saying, you know, have we put in the lows? And as you come back and you start first looking at that December corn contract, and you go all the way back and say, you know, and we got all the way back down to, you know, the low areas down here in the 392 area back on August 12th. And then we've kind of, you know, gradually worked our way higher. And today we worked our way all the way up and kind of ran into some resistance there at that 40-day moving average. But amazingly, Susan, you know, that high today was 413. So, you know, all the way down from, you know, 392. So we're over 20 cents off the low. And I think what we had on the corn market is the corn market started working its way higher. You've got some end users and you got some demand in there. They step in and say, you know what, we'll buy some of this in here as we're going higher. And that fuels it to bounce a little higher. And then I think once we came up through and really broke through, I think the, call it that 411 and a half, 411 and three quarters area, I think there was a lot of buy stops sitting there, and that caused that market to surge up higher from there. So I think you've got a technical part. You've also got from the crop tour, you've got some questions about, yeah, this crop has a lot of yield potential on both the corn and bean side, but, you know, is it going to finish out okay? And then as we come over on the soybean side, similar type thing. If you look back, you'll kind of, timing was a little different when the low went in. You know, we sat back and looked at the November futures, and we really got a low in there at 981 and a quarter back there on about August 6th. Market's been working its higher, but the price action today kind of broke through kind of a downtrend line. I'd call it almost like a bull flag in this market. And when we broke through that, I think there was a lot of buying sitting right above where we were at. That downtrend line was kind of coming in there in that 1044 and a quarter area, similar area where we had really from trade action back as a low back on July 3rd. So we had technical. So I think it's been a combination of fundamental and technicals coming together to give this market a little boost today, Susan.
Has there been any surprises, though, that you've seen in this crop tour?
You know, I think as we go through that, you know, we're wanting to see this tour really bad. And I really appreciate that they physically go out there. And I know the scouts have endured a lot of, you know, really hot conditions. So I really appreciate everything they've done. You know, what we've had a chance to see is we wanted to get a chance and see from the soybean side, you know, where these pod counts coming in. And then also just ultimately, what does the ear counts look like? And was there any pollination issues out there on corn? And, you know, so far, as you bring all that stuff together and say, how's things look? There really hasn't been a lot of surprises for me. I thought we were going to find a lot of pods, and that's exactly what we have found. There's been a lot of pods out there. What's been interesting for me to see, though, is that as you get deeper into the information, is that just how some of the individual states are they've got some challenges ahead to fill. It's a little different than we had last year. If you think about last year right now, we had a really good potential. Now we've got more pods this year than we had last year. We had much drier conditions last year than we have now across the whole Corn Belt. But there's some individual states in there that are having some challenges. You take Ohio, for instance. You know, Ohio on the dryness there, they've probably got some of their driest conditions. What Pro Farmer is showing is that all the way back to 2009, so for them it's drier than in 2012. What we're hearing out of Indiana, so you is that ultimately their conditions, you know, would be probably the driest they've had in 10 years. We know as they move on over into Illinois, there's definitely some dryness and some variability in that crop. But in the area that they didn't sample, as you go further south, you know, there it definitely does get drier in Illinois. But the common theme we hear, and this is both across the corn and the soybean side, is disease pressure. I think as you're over there in the Western Corn Belt in Nebraska and on into Iowa, you know, Southern rust is a big issue. I think the other thing you end up seeing as you move out of Nebraska into Iowa on the beans, you know, sudden death is a big issue. So whether or not we're really going to be able to bring this crop home is the big question. A lot of potential, but are we going to be able to bring it home? And to kind of put that in perspective, just doing some quick numbers, and this would more so relate over here on the soybean side, there's probably between Ohio, Indiana, if we take part of Illinois and the Delta, and Michigan, there's probably about 35% of the soybean crop that's in some pretty dry conditions. And then if we take part of Iowa and say, well, there's some of that crop is suffering from sudden death, you know, so we bring disease and dry conditions together, there could be 40% of that crop that's suffering some challenges. So it could be hard to max out that potential.
Do you see, though, when we look at the USDA numbers and all the comparisons that are happening, are we agreeing or do you see some surprises there?
Yeah, and here's what's interesting is I do think the numbers that we're seeing for the potential of the crop, I do think it does line up and support what USDA is showing for yields. As we dig in and look at some individual results on the corn side, you know, as we go through the state-by-state numbers, I'd say, yeah, it supports a yield that what USDA says. Now, will the pro farmer come out with a similar type number to what USDA is? No, they won't, only because of the really difference in how they sample. I think, if anything, as we talk about potential, now I'm not talking about where I think this ends, but as we talk about potential, I think that the soybean pod counts would suggest a bigger yield than even what USDA said. But I think it's going to be really hard to finish that crop out.
So what should we be looking at factor-wise going forward then?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is as we go forward and look, we really want to continue to watch what is the weather going to turn out in that really eastern Corn Belt. Because as we look in that 6 to 10 day and even the 8 to 14 day, there's definitely some dryness in that eastern Corn Belt. And also down in the Delta, we want to keep a close eye on the Delta. In addition to that, we want to watch very closely, does China and the U.S., are they able to come to any type of terms, any type of trade deal? Because the thing we didn't get a chance to talk about is the demand side of this whole equation. That'll be even more important as we go forward. And then in addition, we want to hear and continue as there's more and more people getting into those fields. We want to hear how this disease is progressing. What we're really hearing is that ultimately the southern rust is continuing to really explode in many areas. And then we're hearing also a lot of people, you know, aren't willing to come in and spray a second time. So that's going to continue to have some, you know, hurt on the corn crop. From the SDS side, we want to continue to see, are there other, in addition to that plant disease, are there other diseases that start popping up? Are there some dryness that develops in some of these areas? And one thing we want to watch on just the timing on this crop, it looks like we're going to see some cooler conditions. So do we end up pushing back harvest a little bit later? And then we have to be concerned about the overall stock quality on the corn side and standability over on the bean side, Susan.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much. Jeff Peterson joining us today. And a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is the Thursday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.